So let's look at the factors now. We said there are three factors: the law of the few, stickiness, and what's the third one? The environment or context. Let's talk about the first force, the law of the few. Who are the few people that can influence something? Now, first of all, I want you to understand that we're going to be looking here tonight at what are the little things that can change everything. That's my goal for you to take a look at. It's nice to know a trend. And before we do that, I want you to do one more thing. Write down right now, what is something you'd like to tip? I.e., is there a product in your business you'd like to take? A message you'd like to send out? What's something you'd like to get out to a mass number of people so that when you're listening to this and you're taking notes tonight, so we're thinking of it in practical application. So what's a product you have, a service you have, a social message you have that you would like to tip, that you would like to get out to a mass audience? What's something you'd really like to put out there so that when we're going through this tonight, it has practical application? Because otherwise you're going to hear this and go, this is kind of interesting. This is what makes trends go. How are you personally vested? What's something you want to get out there? What's a message? What's a product? What's a service? What's a change you'd like to help make happen in mass to a mass audience of people? What's an epidemic you'd like to start? And write it down right now. What would it be for you? And be as specific as possible. Maybe it's your brand. I don't know. What is it you want to take? Is it a lifestyle change you want to help make happen? Is it a mindset? You want everybody to be holding your particular product, your doll, your whatever it is. By the way, does this happen with toys? Are there tipping points with toys? Remember the Cabbage Patch doll? Everybody had one. Tipping points with books? How many books are there put out a year and how many become bestsellers? 150,000 books a year going out. And you've got how many? 30 or 40, 50 that will be seen in the bestseller list. And out of those, there's a few that just go crazy. The thing you'd want to tip? What do you want to tip and why? What would it give you if you could tip this? By the way, do you have to tip something, or could you just become alerted to the factors and then take advantage of a tipping point that's already occurring? Yes, in business, if you see there's a trend and you're at the beginning of the trend and you take advantage of it, is that as good as being the person that starts it? Yes or no? It can be better. It can be better because there's already momentum to something. So you don't have to be the creator of a tipping point. You can just start to notice one and take advantage of it as well. By the way, is it possible to take a message like, have a nice day? Remember the silly smiley face that was everywhere at one time? Or something called peace, or anything else, right? There's certain people, though, there's a certain way of putting that message out, and there's a certain context in which that message would go wildfire. By the way, was 911 a tipping point? How many people involved? 19. What did they use? What was the high-tech tool they used? Box cutters. And what did they do? They hijacked two planes. Has that been done plenty of times before, yes or no? But they did a sticky message, didn't they? By the location of what they did, by who they did it to. They picked who would be the messengers, not just the United States, not just any part of the United States. What if they'd done that in the middle of Pennsylvania? What if they did that, say, in the middle of Ohio? Dallas, Texas. That would have been troublesome because Texans really get upset, but still not as much. But New York City, World Trade Center, the image they did, they knew how to spread a message like wildfire. But there's a secret to this, and part of the secret we're going to learn tonight is size. So let's talk about the law of the few first. Who are the law of the few? They're made up of three groups of people. They're called connectors, mavens, and basically influencers, or what we simply call salespeople. Let's start with connectors. Remember, the law of the few says this. When it comes to spreading an epidemic, all people are not what? They're not equal. Are there some people that can spread an epidemic much more rapidly, much faster than others? Yes or no? Okay, so what makes these people unique? What are the qualities of them? Well, the quality is these are unique individuals because of two things. The number of people they know, number one. The number of people they know, and number two, who they know. Those are the two biggest factors. Now, connectors are people with a social gift. Everybody in this room has different gifts that they developed through their lives. When I say a gift, you may have developed it, you may have been born with it, maybe your nature, maybe something you developed. But for most people that are connectors, it's a social gift of they love to connect with people at a very general level. Connectors understand the power of weak ties. You might jot down that phrase. The power of weak ties. In order to have connections with a lot of people, do those connections have to be deep? Yes or no? No, in fact, you can't have deep connections with a mass number of people. It's impossible. There's only so many hours. If you're going to have a quality relationship, it requires time, energy, and investment. And by the way, how many of you have had somebody in your life that you really do care about and really do love? But let's say the context, sounding familiar, environment's changed, and you both are doing, let's say, different things, or your business or something is pulling you in a different direction, so you're not in proximity of each other. You don't love them any less, but gradually the relationship drifts apart just because of lack of proximity. How many have experienced this in your life? How many have even had where you feel bad about it because you really do care about that person, but it's just, as time's gone by, it's felt even more weird to connect? How many have had that experience? That's why I created Platinum, was to create a context that something like this would happen. But Platinum's only one example. It happens in our lives anywhere. So connectors are different in this way. They like gentle, barely knowing yourself relationships, and they thrive on it. And as a result, they know a lot of people. They have a lot of acquaintances. When they say they know somebody, what they mean is that person knows their name and they know their name. Now, some people have a gift for this. Like, I know a guy in New York that literally, he knows everybody. If you talk to him, he knows everybody. People in all kinds of different industries. It's not only know a lot of people, but the great connectors know the right people, meaning they know the influencers. So we were talking earlier today about a gentleman that's locked up here in China, one of Tom's associates and friends. He's been locked here for 5 years. And he was telling me about the injustice of it, the situation of it. And he said, what do you do like this? You can't confront somebody. You can't cause the people to lose face. And I said, it's all who you know. In this society, our associates here can correct me if I'm wrong. It's who you know. Because if you know the right people, you can get something done. If you don't know the right people, you're basically screwed. Is that fair to say? That's not just true here. It's just magnified here. It's true anywhere. Because those people that are connectors, the reason they can spread something, whether it be a fashion trend or a political idea or anything else, is they know so many people and they know so many of the most important people. So this man I know, for example, in New York City, he has 2,500 people he keeps track of that he has personal relationships with. Like if you were to meet him, he's so warm and so bubbly that, like, if you're getting on an airplane, by the time the wheels were rolling out on the tarmac, you'd be friends with the guy. He'd have you laughing about something. How many know somebody like this? They're just gregarious, but he not only is warm and connected, but he wants to know you. He wants to know. Like, this guy keeps track of everybody's anniversaries and birthdays, and he sends cards to these people, and he doesn't do it as a business tool. He does it because he loves it. He collects people like some people collect stamps. That's what he does. And he knows everybody. He goes, hey, I met so-and-so at a party, and that person's related to this person. And to hear him talk boggles my mind. And for me, I'm thinking, you know, I'm honestly not one of those. I am a connector by default. I know a mass number of people, and I know a lot of important people, but most of those relationships have happened through my message, through a different way of connecting. To me, it's like if I don't have something to share as a message back and forth, I just don't do it. And I know the power of this because Peter Gruber, my good friend, shared with me many times ago. He said, proximity is power. It's one of the single most important distinctions he gave me. He asked me about my goals. I told him my goals were. He said, if you're going to do that in that stage of my life, my goals were political in nature. I thought in 2012 I'd run for president of the United States. And I had the connections in the kitchen cabinet and all those different things. I certainly have some communication skills that would assist. And I said, but I want to do it on my own, you know, 2 feet. I don't want to do it because I've dealt with the last 3 presidents, and I've seen what they do. I said, so I'd like to do it on my own. He said, well, you got your own island, you got your own planes, you got this, you got all the toys, Tony. You have more than enough money, but if you're going to do that, you're talking hundreds of millions of dollars, maybe $500 million, maybe $1 billion. I said, I know. He said, if you're going to do that kind of economics, he said, that's never been your focus is money. You got a lot of money, but it's not your focus. He said, to do that, you're going to have to do it through businesses. You're going to have to do it through acquisition. You're going to have to do it that way. So you have to have some investment bankers. How many investment bankers do you know? I know a lot, but I don't keep track of them. I said, probably 100. He said, how many spend time with? I said, 0. He said, the first thing you got to do is to spend time with investment bankers. He said, like, who do you know? And I said, well, I know, you know, Jack, who heads up this, you know, one of the largest investment banking firms in New York. And I said, I bumped into him here at a party, and he told me I should come talk to him about ideas, but I didn't have a specific thing, and I didn't feel like I had anything to give him, so if I'm going to give him, I'm not going to go just sit and talk. He said, Tony, those people just want to meet you. They just want to talk to you. They want to say they met Tony Robbins. I said, oh, trust me. He goes, no, you underrate who you are. You're a different type of human being. If we're all interested in what that is, you've got to go sit down and talk with him. He pushed me and pushed me, and I finally went and sat down with this guy, and sure enough, 2 years later, you know, I had $500 million on paper in my stock value for my company, a company that I didn't even own, didn't even have the idea of 2 years earlier. So there's great value in connectors. Now, in this case, I wasn't the connector. I went to those connectors. This man connected me to sources of capital, resources, people, that faster than them all. So connectors are the first place that a message gets spread. They put the message out to a mass number of people, but a mass number of influential people. Now, I heard an example of books. Who was an example of a connector in the book business to the tune of $1 billion of increased book sales? Anybody know? Oprah Winfrey. Because Oprah Winfrey, you know, connected to a mass number of people. Massive. Very influential people she's connected to, and the general population, both. So she can make one decision and start an epidemic. True? She can do with almost any product. She can do with anything because she has this mass audience she's connected to. So not everybody's equal. If you can influence Oprah, you can influence a mass thing. If you can be on Oprah and she likes your book is a bestseller. Right? Now, she doesn't do that anymore. Her whole thing is, I'm not going to promote those things. She's changed it. And you know what it's done to the book business? It shrunk the book business by $1 billion in 1 year. $1 billion it shrunk in 1 year when she stopped doing her book club. That's the power that a connector can have. Now, Oprah has more than one quality. She has a connector's quality, but something else as well. So connectors are sociable. They live to create relationships, but their relationships are not deep. But they love them. They don't do it just for business. They love it, and they have enormous power, and they spread things. Now, how do you know if somebody's a connector or not? Well, let's start with you. First of all, I want you to do this. Write down a list of 40 friends as fast as you can. 40 friends. 40 people that you know or consider yourself to have a friendly relationship with. As fast as you can, just brainstorm. 40 friends. 40 people you know well.